Question: have your thighs ever rubbed together, creating a rash because of friction? Chafe is no joke, but thanks to MegaBabe, it's also no problem. Thigh Rescue is the anti-chafe stick made for chafers by chafers. Get MegaBabe's Thigh Rescue and experience what 10,000 five-star reviewers rave about. Thigh Rescue stops chafe. With one sold every 30 seconds, you better run to MegaBabeBeauty.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, we want to talk about salmon. There has been a catastrophic collapse in the number of wild salmon in Irish rivers and lakes. That's what Inland Fisheries Ireland has told TDs and senators. So could our much-loved salmon become extinct here in Ireland? Well, Dr. Cathal Gallagher, the Deputy Chief Executive of Inland Fisheries Ireland, joins me now. Cathal, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
How big a drop are we seeing? Over what period of time?
So we've seen a drop from the total number of salmon returning to Ireland in 1975 of about 1.7 million to 171,000 in 2022. So a pretty drastic decline.
So it's down to 10% of what it was in 1975. Why is this happening?
Well, just by a little bit of background in relation to the salmon themselves, to put in context, because we have about 140 plus salmon rivers in Ireland, and each of the populations of salmon in those rivers are isolated genetically since the Ice Age. So that's the overall Ireland figure, the 171,000. The individual rivers themselves are up and down. And for example, we offer advice each year on the status of those rivers. So we have for a long number of years about 60 rivers that were closed, so there's no exploitation of salmon, and 39 rivers that have only catch and release angling. And with some of the rivers are in reasonable condition. So 42 rivers last year, for example, had some surplus that could be used by anglers or commercial fishermen. So it's an up and down picture around the country, depending on which catchment you're in.
All right. Now, the reasons that numbers have declined in some rivers, we know what salmon do. They make their way up the river to spawn, and then the young salmon tend to hang around for a couple of years. Then they make that incredible voyage to their feeding grounds off the coast of Canada. Then eventually they make their way back again. It's an extraordinary life cycle. So where are the obstacles happening? Are they being fished out in the Atlantic by big trawlers? Are there obstacles in our rivers in terms of, you know, weirs that have not been maintained and so on? What's going on?
So if we look back at the 80s and 70s, the general figure, for every 100 young juveniles that went out to that migration you talked about, out to the Norwegian Sea or out to off the coast of Greenland feed, we were getting 20 adults back. In recent years, that has dropped now to only 5 returning out of every juveniles go out, 5 return as adults. So something has happened in the ocean. And the general consensus is that this is related to climate change. So it mightn't be as simple as a temperature change. It could be, you know, an impact of climate on the predators that are feeding on salmon smolts, or actually the food itself that salmon smolts feed on in the oceans. There's some evidence that calorific value of their food sources has dropped. But also we have to deal with, you know, the stuff that we have close to our coasts. You know, there's an impact from aquaculture and migration of salmon smolts. We have the issues you've outlined. We have pollution and water quality being a problem. And one of the big issues we have, of course, is barriers to migration. And barriers can affect fish as they come back from the long migration as adults to get over those barriers, and also as they're migrating out as juveniles to pass underneath. So there's a lot of pressures that they're experiencing, and many of them man-made.
Now, do you do surveys regularly of all of these salmon rivers to determine what the obstacles are? I mean, it could be in a smaller river, an amount of litter and garbage that would block the way. It could be, as I said earlier, some neglected salmon weir. It could be construction along the river. Have we that kind of information?
Yes, yeah, so we're very active. So one of the things we have in 32 of our rivers is actually electronic counters. So we count the adults coming back. We have juvenile surveys. So we go out and look at the status of those juveniles as they're emerging from their reds or nests and see how they're doing in the catchments. But then we also look at the habitat. So we do habitat assessments in various catchments. But one of the big programs we're involved with now is to deal with that issue of barriers. And that issue of barriers is going to be dealt with through a barrier mitigation program. And what IFI has done is identified potentially 73,000 barriers on a national level, many of which would impact the migration of salmon.
Can you give me an example of the kind of barriers you're talking about?
Sure, it can be very small aprons, for example, under bridges that were built, or culverts under roads, or what we see more often, you know, we've noticed more often is those weirs across a river that maybe were associated with a mill in historic times, or any sort of barrier you'll see yourself. And if you look at a barrier like that, you'll actually see, if you cast your eye, you'll see the degradation of habitat. You'll see the impounded water bodies. And you can imagine the impact as climate change hits and we have low water conditions, how hard it is for fish to migrate through some of those channels.
Yeah. The question of the spawning itself, when the eggs are laid, they have to be laid in particular settings.
Yes, so they are laid in gravel and they need good, clean flow of oxygenated water. And they spend, you know, I suppose the adults come back and spawn in winter, and then these juveniles emerge in spring. And they have to spend a couple of years on average in that freshwater environment, feeding and growing to get strong enough. And then they make a fascinating change. So they move from that, you know, what would look more like a brown trout to the eye. They turn silver and change their capabilities to be able to deal with salt water and start that huge migration. So good water quality and good habitat is essential to make sure that they can survive that ocean migration and return again as adults to start that cycle.
Now, I mentioned that they might be fished out in the Atlantic. Do we have any information on those factory ships that are out there that might prey upon the salmon?
Well, it's a very difficult question, Pat, because if you think about the small number of salmon that actually come from the rivers into that wide ocean, and then you think about all of the other fish species that are out there. So it's a very difficult, problem to look at and understand how big of a potential impact is. The general belief is that there is some impact, but is it really what's causing the huge decline? I don't think it possibly is. There'll be some level of impact, but we haven't been able to categorise that. And just to say that, you know, it's not a problem alone for Ireland. This same issue in relation to the salmon numbers exists on the basin whole, on the Atlantic basin. So when we look at populations around, you know, whether it be in the US or Canada or Norway and other places, they're seeing similar declines. Yeah. And I guess one of the major initiatives that we have is to look at how we can work together to understand what's happening in the ocean, but also to work together as managers to try and build some management strategies to help us to sustain these stocks.
Yeah. And finally, you mentioned aquaculture. There used to be stories going the rounds about fish in cages having lice and that those lice might contaminate the free fish, if you like.
Yes. So what happens is, as you know, you can have an aquaculture facility, and sustainable aquaculture is very positive and a good industry. But in particular locations where you have migrating wild salmon or even sea trout as well, the lice can be transferred from those fish and become a burden on those small little smolts that are migration and cause early mortality or damage them. And that can be a contributing factor to the pressures of stocks in those locations where they're migrating past aquaculture facilities.
A final question, and if you could be brief, Cathal. Sure. Could you ask your guest what's been done for those rivers that are closed in order to improve them? Some rivers around me are closed for over 10 years. Is it just a box-ticking exercise? This is from Andrew, a catch-and-release angler.
Okay, yeah, so the rivers are closed because the stocks are at such a low level. And what we do is we try to look at the habitat and to try and make that engine, if you like, work better. And we do monitor those catchments to see if they're returning. Unfortunately, you can have catch and release angling, but there is some level of mortality always associated with angling, whether that be catch and release or not. And on those particular rivers, we really can't facilitate that because the populations are in such a low state that we don't really want to add any additional pressures.
All right. Dr. Cathal Gallagher, the Deputy Chief Executive of Inland Fisheries Ireland. Cathal, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.